Hammer and Nigel.
Can you believe these characters are weirdos?
So let's rock it!
My name is Nigel. Jason Hammer right over there. IMPD Chief Chris Bailey, along with Mayor Hogsett, announcing that the Department of Justice, as well as something called the National Policing Institute, are going to conduct an independent review of all the officer-involved shootings within IMPD in 2023. The numbers that are involved here, 18 shootings. 14 of those took place in the last 5 months of the year.
Now, this is being done at the request of the city of Indianapolis. Now, the brass at the IMPD, they're playing ball. They're open to this. They're being transparent. But make no mistake, this is being done at the request of the city of Indianapolis.
Well, Mayor Hogsett said it's both the city and IMPD have requested it.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure the IMPD was really rushing to have the Department of Justice go through and look at every single thing they do and have a bunch of people that don't know anything about policing micromanage them.
They're looking to identify potential patterns and factors that led to the rise of officer-involved shootings. Oh, I don't know. I could give you maybe one. More bad guys with no regard for human life shooting at police officers? Could that be a potential pattern and a potential factor?
Damn it, Nigel, you just saved us a lot of time and money. Well done, sir. Put your name in that report. Have it on their desk by the morning.
I'm just saying. Okay. And whatever. Why don't they do an investigation of all the shootings that take place in Indianapolis in 2023?
We've already seen the prosecutor come out and act like he was upset at even the shootings that were done in self-defense. The justified shootings and the justified homicides just this year. We played the audio of Ryan Mears. His feelings were hurt because citizens were defending themselves against bad guys coming into their home, or women were shooting bad guys that were beating them, threatening their lives. And Channel 13 and the prosecutor Ryan Mears did this story about how we're supposed to feel bad that bad guys are being dealt with in terms of, you know, fire coming back at him. That's what's going on here in Indianapolis. And I'm just wondering, will this report from the Department of Justice be as thorough as the one about the riots?
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Remember when that came out? Some East Coast group broke down what happened in Indianapolis during the riots.
It was IMPD's fault, right?
They blamed IMPD for wearing riot gear to a riot.
It's not funny, but that's all I can do is laugh.
I mean, that was part of the report.
Absolutely.
IMPD raised tensions because they wore riot gear to a riot. That was in the report. And by the way, that report done by the East Coast Eggheads, they didn't talk to any business owners here in Indy. Over 100 businesses were damaged in some way, some completely. Two people died, there were fires, there was destruction, and over 100 businesses had damage in some way, and business owners weren't a part of that report.
Not only that, but then further down the line, a few weeks later, they boarded up their windows and thought there was going to be another riot, and the mayor and other people, left-wing opinion writers, said it sends the wrong message to the rioters.
Right. If you don't laugh, you'll cry, because all of this happened. All of this is true. So I'm just wondering, is this Department of Justice review of IMPD officer-related shootings going to be like the report that came in about the riots? Now, let's go back to March of 2021. For those who don't remember, we had the FOP president, Rick Snyder, on this program. I believe it was the first week of March 2021, the day that this report came out criticizing IMPD, blaming them for the riots.
The facts don't support the report. Listen, everybody in Indianapolis knows what this was all about. This is simply politicians covering their backsides for their failures. It was on full display during the event in May of last year. And it wasn't our police that failed our city. It was our politicians. And everybody knows it. It's the political leadership that abdicated their responsibilities. They required our police officers to take a compromised posture that then allowed the events to really devolve into the situations that we had, where we had over 100 businesses damaged or destroyed, four people shot, two of which lost their lives. We have a report that was generated by the very person in which a lot of questions were being asked to, and rightfully so. It's the executive of our entire city. You also saw that we were told to give them plenty of space and back off, and then actually told to leave the circle. And then we were resigned to the fact of having to follow the groups around that kept evolving and becoming further emboldened, damaging property. This was after they had assaulted police officers, thrown the frozen bottles on them, and all those things. Guys, within 15 minutes, it's in the transcripts, within 15 minutes of the quote-unquote peaceful protest beginning, it was documented that there were already visible sticks, shields, the bottles, and other concerns within the crowd. Any actions that officers were taking were simply focused on the people who were attempting to assault the officers.
And the reason we play you that soundbite is we want you to understand what happens when outside groups start doing reports on what happens in your city. More often than not, it's total crap. So just keep that in mind. Nige, a 35-year-old man, was arrested after he flew into fits of rage at a Dunkin' Donuts in New York City.
This is Dunkin'.
Nope, to me it's Dunkin' Donuts. You know how I am on these things. It's still Deer Creek, it's still the Hoosier Dome, and it's still Dunkin' Donuts.
The Hoosier Dome doesn't even exist anymore.
This guy was mad because he wanted six pumpkin donuts, but they only had five to sell him. So he freaked out, started threatening the guy, and now he's facing 7 years in prison.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure Fat Alvin Bragg will make him do all 7 years. I'm sure he's gonna. He'll be out on the. I'm sure he's out walking around right now.
They're real tough on bad guys in New York, aren't they?
Yeah, it's kind of like in Indianapolis.
So this brings us to great moments in Dunkin' Donut history.
Is there such a thing?
This is the viral video of the Dunkin' Donuts customer who thought that a dozen was 50.
I want 50. I need more. 50. That's what a dozen is. Not 12. You don't understand the English.
12 is a dozen.
I want more than 12.
You don't need to be rude.
That's incredible. I don't know that I've heard that one.
Great moments in Dunkin' Donut history. This is the employee at Dunkin' that went viral for giving a dollar to a woman in honor of MILF Monday.
Thank you. What was the dollar for?
Oh, for the holiday today.
Oh,
yeah. You follow up? Did you check your app?
No.
Should have got the MILF Monday.
Oh.
Yeah. So you get the dollar. We're just like here at Dunkin'. We're trying to give back to like our local MILFs on Mondays now.
Very funny. Cute though.
No, I'm serious.
Okay. Have a good one.
You too, mommy.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's creepy. That's a little sketchy.
She didn't seem too bothered
by it,
though.
No, she didn't. She didn't. You get the wrong woman. You get the wrong Karen in, though, and I probably wouldn't blame her.
And lastly, great moments in Dunkin' Donut history, WWE superstar The Rock.
Well, The Rock has one question for you. Do you like donuts? What's your favorite donut?
Jelly.
Oh, you like jelly? Well, jelly's a good one. The Rock says this: when you leave here, go down to Dunkin' Donuts, get the biggest jelly donut you can find.
Oh, no.
Hold that jelly donut up, squeeze all the jelly out, squeeze all the jelly out, and then turn that some sideways and stick it straight up your candy ass.
Great moments in Dunkin' Donuts history. What's the update to a story that we had today? You sent me something earlier today.
Oh, is this the blue milk thing?
I believe
so. Did we talk about this a couple of weeks ago? Star Wars brand blue milk is hitting stores today. You remember that scene in Star Wars where Luke is having breakfast with Aunt Beru and Uncle Owen, and he's drinking blue milk?
Yes.
They're actually releasing blue milk in the stores today. Here's a, you know, Star Wars came out in 1977, right? Classic scene.
Right.
And I always thought Aunt Beru was very sweet. Uncle Owen, bit of a prick. But here's a little quick tribute. And I'm definitely, if I see this in the store, I'm buying blue milk. Star Wars blue milk for sure. Here's our quick tribute, if you will. Here's your tribute.
That's all we get.
That's all we have.
That's all we got. All right. Good job. Well done. That's 5 seconds of awesomeness.
You're listening to the Hammer and Nigel Show.
All right, Hammer. What is, first explain what is cameo, and then explain what is cameo prices, right? And then explain how I always lose.
Actually, you're on a 2-game win streak, if you remember. But
yeah.
Cameo is a online service where you can pay a certain amount of money and you can choose from the celebrities that are available, and they will record a personalized message for you or a friend, right? So you would pay X amount of money, and then Ric Flair would record something for you or one of your buddies.
We paid Tanya Harding, was it last year or the year before, a night at WIBC to send a message to our former producer, Mondo.
Correct. Now, the thing you need to understand with Cameo is you're not getting Leonardo DiCaprio. You're not getting, you know, George Clooney or right. Brad Pitt, yes. Tom Cruise. The A-listers are not there. But the people that are there, I think we're using the word celebrity pretty loosely.
And there's a wide variety in terms of price range.
Correct. And the celebrities themselves set the price range. Now, the way this works, I'm going to read a name of one of the celebrities that's available on Cameo.
Okay.
You have to guess how much they charge for a personalized message closest without going over. Price is Right rules gets a point. First 1 to 3 is the winner between Nigel and Allison.
All right.
Now, the winner gets to choose. Do you want to take this shot from Hotel Tango, their red, white, and bourbon, which is a part of our big Tales from the Track event coming up, or do you want to pass it to your opponent?
Okay.
So if, Nigel, you win, you can either take the shot you're going to take the shot. Allison, if you win, you can either take the shot or give it to Nigel, okay? Here we go. Number one, Cameo Price is Right. Former NSYNC member Chris Kirkpatrick. Allison, we're going to start with you. Ooh. How much does Chris Kirkpatrick charge for a Cameo message?
$150.
$175.
Nigel gets the point. $179.
Wow. $79. Because NSYNC's kind of on a comeback, right? A little bit. They've been going out on tour.
A little bit, yeah. So Nigel's up 1-0.
Boom.
Nigel, this question's to you. Richard Klein, he played Larry, the wacky neighbor on Three's Company that would always go to the Regal Beagle with Jack Tripper. Actor Richard Klein.
Still alive? $50.
Allison.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. I'll say $49.
Nigel gets the point. $100.
Allison.
All right, Allison, you're going to need to get this next one, or Nigel's going to get the broom out and sweep your sorry ass out of here.
Okay.
Now, there's a sound clip for this one.
I love this game.
There's a sound clip here.
Okay.
The actor is Jonathan Schmock. Jonathan Schmock. He played the role of the maitre d' in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Abe Froman, the Chicago Sausage King.
It's snooty with me, snooty.
Right. If you wonder what a Cameo message sounds like from Jonathan Schmock, here it is.
You're Abe Froman, the Sausage King of Chicago. No, I think you're Kendall, and it's Valentine's Day. Well, happy Valentine's Day. Hi, Kendall. It's me, Jonathan Schmock. I played the maitre d' in Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Snooty, snobby, snotty.
How much does Jonathan Schmock charge for Cameo, Allison?
I'll go with 50.
I'll go with 49.
Yeah, that was too high.
Allison got it right. Oh. $60.
Wow. Oh. Inflation's affecting everybody.
$60 and you can get a personalized message from Jonathan Schmuck. All right, Nigel, we go back to you.
I can still win it right here, right?
Yeah.
Lorenzo Lamas, 80s star of the TV show Renegade, yeah. Did some male modeling. How much does Lorenzo Lamas charge for Cameo?
$100.
Allison?
I don't know who this is. I'm going to go with 90.
You're both over.
Oh, boy.
$70. So, Allison, we go back to you.
Okay.
Country singer Neil McCoy, famous for The Wink and The Shake. How much does Neil McCoy charge for Cameo?
50.
Nigel?
75.
$100. Nigel's the winner. You gotta do is just give me that wank.
I am on a streak. So three in a row now?
Heater, yeah.
See, I always used to lose to Mondo. That's the thing. So do I want the shot or do I want to pass it to Allison?
We know the answer. It's okay. We don't need to play this back and forth.
Just slide that thing right over my way, Hammer. Just go ahead. I'm not giving this to Allison. I'm red, white, and blue. Thanks to Hotel Tango for who's also sponsoring and providing the spirits for Tales from the Track.
There were a couple that I left on the table just to run out the clock here.
Yeah.
Former Notre Dame coach Lou Holtz. How much do you think he charges?
$150.
$100.
$75.
That's
$75.
All.
Wow. And comedian actor John Lovitz, Saturday Night Live, hangs out with Sandler and all those guys.
At least $150.
I'm gonna say $200.
$175.
Oh,
meet in the middle, and that is how we play Cameo Price is Right.
Very nice.
Here on the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Crime, punishment, judges, legal stuff.
Yeah. My name is Nigel. That's Hammer. The six jurors have been found for Donald Trump's quote-unquote hush money trial in New York City. I have a problem, and I'm guilty of it too, with the term hush money. It sounds like he, just by virtue of the words hush money, sounds like he did something illegal. No, it was a non-disclosure agreement. It wasn't hush money. It wasn't under the table. This was a legal contract that he had Stormy Daniels sign willingly for a few $100,000 to keep her mouth shut about the alleged affair. But DA there, the district attorney, Fat Alvin Bragg, says that was a, since that helped your campaign, you should have been disclosed and fraud and blah, 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 blah. I don't want to get into the weeds there, but the six jurors have been found for this trial. Which is
six of the jurors. They still got more to find.
Yeah, well, this trial, which is nothing more than to keep Trump off the campaign trail, because everybody rejected this case before. This case has been looked at before in terms of, like, the guy that came before Bragg didn't want it. Merrick Garland's Justice Department didn't want to look at it, but it's Trump and it's derangement syndrome, and it's that Trump derangement syndrome is strong.
And you've got people who ran their campaigns on, I'm going to go after Trump.
Yeah, the Attorney General, Letitia James from New York.
You had a couple people doing that in New York. So now they have to actually do it. So the jury process is underway. They claim they found six jurors so far that can be completely impartial.
Sure.
They're not going to have any preconceived notions of guilt about Donald Trump. Take a listen to this. One of the prospective jurors, which was later dismissed because of a scheduling conflict, not because of anything else, but just because of a scheduling conflict. This prospective juror told the court that, sure, she could remain unbiased and give a good, fair listening to all the facts and information. But she also admits to a TV camera she's not a fan of the president.
Can you share your opinion of the former president and why you felt that you could be unbiased?
I'm not a fan. During COVID-19, I lived with someone who was immunocompromised, and I think his handling of COVID-19 was abysmal. I have a sister who's adopted from China, and the comments he made about China when he was running for president made her very anxious and therefore made me angry. There policies he has supported that regard women and reproductive health that I do not agree with. I think all of that needs to be addressed.
All of that needs to be addressed.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan. And mind you, she wasn't kicked out of the jury because they found her to be unbiased. She had a scheduling conflict. She couldn't do it, or she would be on that jury.
You could damn well bet there is more than one person so far on that jury selection that feels the exact same way, that it's agenda-driven as she is. And let's not forget the Trump-hating judge who's donated to Joe Biden's campaign and also two other liberal-leaning groups. And his daughter, the judge's daughter, works for a Democrat group.
Right. So. Say what you want about Donald Trump. And you may hate the guy, and that's fine. You may think he's a gaffe machine, a sexist, whatever you want to say. But if you're looking in the mirror and you're trying to be honest with yourself, ask yourself this question. Can he get a fair trial in New York? Put your hatred to the side, because if the answer is anything other than no, you're lying to yourself. Here is Vivek Ramaswamy. He was on Fox last night talking about how there's no way that Donald Trump can get a fair trial in Manhattan.
I think it's really tough to imagine that he's going to get a fair trial in Manhattan. And if this were being held in a deep red conservative part of the country, you'd have liberals crying foul the same way. But I do think that it's just one more way in which this entire trial is a spectacle. It is designed to keep Donald J. Trump out of office. That's part of the plan they've laid. But I think the American people, Trace, are seeing through that farce slowly. It's not 2016 anymore. The media has systematically lied. A lot of the weaponization of the justice system has been revealed. And so I predict that many Americans are going to say, you know what, whether you're on the left or the right, we don't want to be a country where prosecutors are trying to eliminate presidential candidates from contention, especially the lead candidate who's in the lead from the opposition party. That's not the United States of America. That's the stuff of banana republics. And we're moving past that. So I do predict it's going to backfire. But do I think he's getting a fair trial? No, I don't think that's going to be easily possible for him in New York.
And not only eliminate Trump from contention, but incarcerate him. There's that aspect of it, too.
Now, I know this really has nothing to do with anything, but can I play you my favorite part of Vivek Ramaswamy on Fox last night? So he was there as a guest. He's talking about a couple different things. Obviously, Trump being the most, you know, vital part of the conversation. But then somehow the topic of AI came up. And don't forget, Kamala Harris, she was put in charge of making sure AI doesn't get too crazy. This is Vivek Ramaswamy.
Kamala Harris is literally the person in the United States of America who is in charge of AI policy.
Right.
And I'm quite certain the woman cannot spell AI.
I don't know why, but I just found that hilarious.
And I always liked Vivek on the campaign trail during the GOP debates. He was very likable to me. And it was definitely somebody I could have voted for sure. Didn't have a chance, really, against Donald Trump, but neither did any of those other bozos up there. right I'm not calling DeSantis a bozo. It's just, that's tongue-in-cheek, but you know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah. It was always a one-man race.
Yes.
So the question now becomes, if this process goes the way we think it's going to, with a very anti-Trump jury and anti-Trump judge, is his popularity going to rise? Because every single time that Donald Trump faces legal stuff, his poll numbers go through the roof. Stephen A. Smith of ESPN. Now, he's not a conservative. He's not a Republican. But I will give him credit, though.
He doesn't like Trump.
He doesn't like Trump. I'll give Stephen A. Smith credit. He'll go on Fox News and he'll go into the lion's den. He'll fight and spar with Sean Hannity about certain things. He's not afraid. I'll give him credit for that. On his podcast, he had some thoughts on Donald Trump and what's going on with him legally. And honestly, this may surprise you.
To my liberal friends out there, all you're doing is showing that you're scared you can't beat him on the issues and the merits. That's why he keeps saying it's a political campaign against me. That's why he keeps saying they can't beat me at the election, at the polls. This is the only way they could do it. And if you don't put him in jail, and he still goes from being the presumptive GOP nominee to the official GOP nominee, and he goes to the polls, even though he was going to whine about winning and being rigged again, you have given more fodder to that argument, which means we'll never have peace in this country, because tens of millions of people see what extent the other side is willing to go through just to keep him out of office, because they can't beat him on their own merits.
There's also a flip side to that coin. I agree with everything he said, but what are we talking about right now? We're talking about this hush money trial with a porn star, when we should be talking about what? The border, the economy, crime, bad foreign policy. And the Democrats don't want to talk about that. They want to talk about this trial involving Stormy Daniels and some made-up campaign finance violation law.
Would you like to hear from a lunatic?
I could only imagine. You're going to have to be more specific. Sorry.
So Morning Joe Scarborough, the morning host on MSNBC. I don't know what's going on here, but over the last 6 to 8 months, he's gone completely in the tank for Joe Biden. Like, I think he sleeps in Joe Biden pajamas. And Joe's always been like that, but it's never been to this level. Like, he's a cartoon character now. Listen to Joe Scarborough, MSNBC's morning man, on his program yesterday.
And on Fox News, and I'll just say it, on Fox News, they didn't want to show Donald Trump in trial. So they got three protests and said protests shut down America, basically. This is the world. They give their viewers anything to try to make America look bad. They are obsessed on trashing America when America is stronger, more powerful than ever before. Its economy stronger and more powerful than ever before. So what do? They find a trans athlete in Utah. The world's coming to an end. Help us, Jesus.
He's losing his mind.
The country ain't the country I was raised in. No, it's better. It's stronger. We're more powerful. Our military's more powerful.
It's Fox News covering the protests that shut down the Golden Gate Bridge and the bridge over the Bronx and into Chicago, those pro-Hamas protesters. See, Fox ain't falling for it. They're not following this sham trial, this show trial, this kangaroo court. What did I just say? They want us distracted by they meant Joe Scarborough. The Democrats want us distracted. They want us paying attention to Donald Trump and not the border and not the economy and not the foreign policy. And did I mention it? Certainly not the border.
It's the Hammer and Nigel Show. Had some action earlier today over at the Fieldhouse. The introductory press conference with Caitlin Clark took place. She was officially introduced to the Indianapolis market.
Walked in through the red carpet rollout for Caitlin.
Absolutely. Yeah. Here's a little bit from the number one pick in the WNBA draft.
Honestly, like, this might sound very, like, small city of me, but, like, it seems like a bigger Des Moines in a way. Obviously, a little bit bigger than Des Moines. So that's what I'm most excited about. I'm not, like, a huge big city girl, so I feel like this is a perfect spot for myself, a place that loves basketball. But more than anything, like, this is in the Midwest. People might think I'm crazy for wanting to stay in the Midwest, but, like, that's just who I am. That's where my roots are. I love the people here. So I think that's what I'm most excited about, of, you know, having an opportunity to come to an organization like this and be in a place where there can be a lot of support for it and have a lot of people around me that I really love.
And she talks about support. One of the first people to greet her as she made her way to this red carpet today was the star of the Pacers, Tyrese Halliburton.
I saw that, yeah.
She talked about that.
Yeah, I've watched the Pacers very closely. My boyfriend works for the Pacers, so I've become quite a fan. But, I mean, Tyrese is incredible, and I just want to congratulate him. Obviously, being named to the USA national team today is pretty special. It's a really hard accomplishment, and obviously he played for a very terrible team in college, but it's nice to be in the same city now. And, you know, I think the thing I love about him is the way he passes the ball. Like, I watch his game, and it's just incredible what he can do. So, but all of them across the board, I think Coach Carlisle has been tremendous for them, and it's been a lot of fun to watch. And, you know, I hope they beat the Bucks.
Now, again, if you didn't know, Tyrese Haliburton went to Iowa State, as Caitlin went to Iowa. Real quick, I want to get to this before we hit a break here. What happened to Trevor Bauer, Major League Baseball player, is crap. So two gold-digging you-know-whats tried to extort money from him, lied that he sexually assaulted them. He's been able to prove this. He's got the text messages. He's never been charged with anything, but yet it cost him his baseball career. And now one of those accusers, one of these gold-diggers, is now facing fraud charges for trying to shake down Trevor Bauer and another dude. Here's just a little bit of the video that he put out last night.
One of the women who accused me of sexual assault just got indicted for committing felony fraud against me. Imagine that. Now, let me catch up to speed. In the last 3 years, two women have taken legal action against me. Lindsay Hill started all this. You may remember her from this video as the girl who set me up and lied to the world in an attempt to take my money. Well, today, the only other one, Darcy Adana Asimonu, has been criminally indicted for committing felony fraud against me and another man. So now she's facing up to 16 years in prison. Her claims are even more absurd than Lindsay's were. So
okay, you can kind of stop it right there. And the video is like 5 minutes long.
And he can't get a gig in baseball right now.
And that sucks. Still. Listen, I'm telling you, as a Cub fan, they could use his arm. Cincinnati Reds fans, you could use his arm. The guy is only guilty of sleeping with crazy chicks, but that's a far cry from being a rapist or a sexual assault. Yeah. Or that's disgusting what happened to him, and I hope he gets a second chance.
Hammer and Nigel.
Can you believe these characters are weirdos?
So let's rock it!
Now, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that I didn't mind the spark on the circle thing that Harrison Silcox was just talking about at the top of the hour, where they shut down a quadrant of Monument Circle and turned it into a bunch of games. They put a bunch of green turf down, and there's vendors out there and chairs. And it was sitting right outside our building last year. And I think they're moving it. What'd you say? Did I hear him say like the northwest quadrant of the circle? Sets?
Right.
If I just walk out this building, it'd be to the left of us now.
And it's going to be for a longer period of time, June 1st to November 3rd.
Oh, no kidding. I didn't mind it. I thought it was pretty cool. And anything looks better than what's going on down there right now with that renovation on the north side of Monument Circle.
Yeah,
that's a mess.
This construction that's been happening on the circle is like the construction on Rockville Road. Feels like it's been going on forever. I don't know what the timetable is here, but you're right. It's not pretty. Hopefully it will be when they get done. But the reason why Spark happens still kind of rubs me the wrong way a little bit.
You have to remind me.
So Boss Hogg said, and his good time party boys at the City County Council, they couldn't control the crime on Monument Circle. So what they did was shut down a quadrant of it to try to basically spread it out throughout downtown Indianapolis. And now they can do a victory lap going, well, under our leadership, we have lowered crime on Monument Circle by this percent. Well, yeah, but you had to shut down half of the circle to do it. And they've added so many security guards to make sure this thing works, right? I see officers down there all the time protecting this thing when it's open, that if you just would have did that when the circle was open, maybe you wouldn't have had to have done it.
But I know you're not complaining about the amount of security down here, right?
No, I'm wondering why that it takes a putting green to get that. That's my angle. You put putting greens on Monument Circle, boy, oh boy, we've got a whole team down here to protect the circle. But if it's a regular day in the past, screw it. That homeless guy that's fondling himself with a knife doesn't mean any harm.
Ow! I mean, why does it take, you know, there was a homeless tin city underneath the Hilbert Circle Theater awning couple of years ago. That disappeared pretty quick when the NCAA tournament came to Indy, didn't it?
My favorite is when Abdul and I saw the homeless couples consummating a relationship under the awning of the Hilbert Theater. Like, that's what was taking place here. Now, we haven't seen that level of debauchery in a while. We've seen it on the steps of the monument. There was like a viral Instagram picture going around.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
That was at the beginning of the construction.
Strange.
But yeah, it's gotten a little better, but it took the mayor putting in a putting green and, you know, beanbag toss for security to be dedicated on Monument Circle. We've been saying make that happen all the time,
yeah, well,
even without Spark.
Fortunately, they don't have, you know, they're 350 recruits shy of their goal in IMPD. They're spread pretty thin.
Shocking that that's the case when the city of Indianapolis is basically begging the Department of Justice to look into the IMPD to make sure, you know, these shootings are all justified. Again, don't tell me that the IMPD just openly volunteered for this, something they wanted to have happen. And look, they're about transparency. Body cams have been, I think, a godsend to the IMPD officers, at least to the officers that I know. These body cams keep them out of a lot of trouble because it shows the amount of lunacy they have to deal with. And it shows a lot of times these shootings are indeed justified.
It's like, wait a minute, why? We need to bring the Department of Justice in to figure out why there are more police action shootings here in the Circle City. Well, maybe because there's more bad guys shooting at police. Maybe because there's a revolving door of the criminal justice system. These guys that commit felonies and they get right back out the door and then they go and do it more and over and over and over and over again. Maybe that's, I mean, I could save you a lot of money.
Right. More you just saved a lot of people some cash with that.
More bad guys with little regard or zero regard for human life shooting at police officers. That's probably why there's more police action shootings.
And it's not just Boss Hogsett. I know we beat up on that guy all the time, and deservedly so. But it's team coverage for screwing things up. It takes a prosecutor that really wants to be a public defender like Ryan Mears, and it takes woke, ridiculous judges like Mark Stoner. And I've said it before, and I will say it again. Today is April 17th. It's 4:11 p.m., and Judge Mark Stoner is the worst judge in the state of Indiana. This story from the New York Post, Nige, I think this warrants our attention.
Oh, boy.
An unfortunate soul had to undergo emergency surgery after fracturing his crank in two places while he was sleeping.
Wait, what? I'm sorry?
It left him with a condition called eggplant deformity.
This is not a real story.
This is from the New York Post. This is real. A 27-year-old patient from Tunisia had reportedly rolled over on his happy little soldier, so to speak, while he was sleeping. And according to the New York Post, quote, a shocking result in an audible snap. An audible snap and subsequent intense pain. So he had to go to the doctor. There was major swelling, and he fractured his crank.
How is that even possible?
In two places.
There's no bone in there, is there?
Well,
I mean, I know. When you get excited, there's a name for that, but there's technically no bone in there, is there?
I don't know how this is possible, but he was excited in his sleep, rolled over, and an audible snap. That's not what you want to hear.
Morning wood.
Yes.
Really is what it's called. It's always strange places like Tunisia.
Right.
Like you hear about these crazy, dumb stories.
It's not like Bedford. Dateline Bedford, Indiana. Some hillbilly snapped his crank off. You're right. It always is some out of, you know, pocket country here. Out of mind country. It's never new pal. So, according to a new study, the most stressful time of the day is 8:15 a.m. According to this study, 8:15 a.m. is the time where a couple different things are taking place. People are getting ready for the morning, helping their kids get off to school, you know, making breakfast, commuting. All of that factors into being the most stressful time of the day.
I feel like this applies only if you have small kids. Does that make sense? I mean, is 8:15 stressful for you, Hammer?
No.
I mean, you got kids. You got one in college and one in high school.
Yeah, I'm driving one to high school at 8:15, but half the time I just got basketball shorts on and a Who Farted t-shirt. I wouldn't say that's overly stressful.
What gets stressful for me is when, like, the kids haven't eaten, we oversleep. you know, they have to be in line at a certain time. At we drive our kids to school too, and if you don't get there at a certain time, you're screwed. You're like backed up out on the street.
Ooh,
that's a little stressful for me. But I don't have to be anywhere, luckily, at a certain time in the morning.
Yeah, running late.
Anywhere else besides school, that is.
Running late's the worst. That's when I'm at my most stressful. And it just feels like whenever I'm running late, that's when I run into the worst group of drivers imaginable.
Preparing for vacation with my better half can be somewhat.
Preparing for it? See, I love to prepare for it.
Well,
I hate cleaning up afterwards. Bringing the luggage home and.
You just try to prepare for a trip to Florida with one Miss Lindsay Laskowski. You'll understand what I'm talking about. I'm a little more casual than she is. Let's just put it that way.
Okay, fair enough.
Hammer and Nigel presents. Is.
It depends upon what the meaning of the word is.
Is this anything?
All right, let's rock and roll. Rock and roll.
Do it. How do we play? Is this anything?
I just slid you over a note card of how we play.
Oh.
Based on the advice of somebody yesterday
that's right.
Caller Roulette.
We had a complaint.
Somebody was very upset that you asked me how to play this game every day and suggested on a radio program that I slide you a note card of how it works. So that's what we've done today.
Okay. All right. Now I know how it works. I've read the note card.
Is this anything? An elephant was running loose in Montana yesterday after it escaped from a traveling circus that was in town.
Oh, no.
Here's a quick clip from somebody witnessing the elephant running wild.
Elephant walking down the road. Oh, my God. Only in Butte. A circus elephant got loose. Where are you going, friend? And he's gone.
Dude, I'm like, they're laughing. I see an elephant walking down the middle of Meridian, and nobody is around to corral it, and it's headed straight for me. I'm not laughing. I'm running into the nearest clothing store and buying a new pair of shorts. This thing was huge.
Yes.
Now, because it was probably captive and docile, they were able to corral it and get it back to its safe space. I did read that it took a dump on somebody's lawn before they were able to get it back to the circus.
Big old elephant dump.
Oh, man.
Like, imagine living in Montana.
Oh, yeah.
That's the last thing you would expect that you have to clean up on your yard, elephant dung.
I'm telling you, though, it's no joke. Those things, like, there was a big story about a month ago of a charging elephant that killed an elderly American woman on a safari tour in Zambia. So that's a real thing. They were on like a golf cart, and this thing just came charging out of nowhere and knocked her over.
It was moving quick.
Yeah, yeah. But so was this one, but they were able to get it pretty good. So, yeah, no thank you. That would freak me out.
So an elephant running down the street, you would go buy a new pair of shorts. I, on the other hand, would go up and introduce myself to Joy Behar. That's it for me, everybody. Good night.
Hey-o!
Whack, whack, whack. Is this anything?
Wow.
A minor league hockey team in Cleveland honored a guy this past weekend because he saved a kid from a stray hockey puck that was coming to the crowd.
Oh, man.
It happened at a Cleveland Monsters game. It's a minor league hockey team last week. Here's Andrew, the hero, and the kid's mom talking about what happened.
I just saw it was like wobbling and whatnot, so I was like, oh God, the first thing I got to do, first instinct is protect the kid, jump in front of it. I just kind of went off to the side and it actually hit me like on the inside of the hand right here.
And after he caught the puck, he told me that the empty seat next to him was his seat too. If I was him, I would have been switched seats.
I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful.
Yeah, you got to keep your head on a swivel when you go to baseball games and hockey games. I feel like those are the two. Or maybe if you're sitting like courtside on an NBA basketball game,
right,
you got to really be on the lookout. But baseball especially, you've heard these horror stories of foul balls hitting to the concession stands and people aren't looking around and getting nailed, much less, you know, a baseball player breaks his bat. I remember a baseball game a few years ago where a baseball player broke his bat like three consecutive times. Do you remember that at all? Does that sound familiar? And each time his bat went into the stands and nearly just took somebody out. So I don't know how often a puck at a hockey game makes its way into the stands, but yeah, you got to be paying attention.
Right. And those hockey pucks, like the foul balls, they're moving. Like
real fast.
They're not into the stands because they floated up into there. Those things are moving. Is this anything? Going to need a little mood music here.
Journey?
Journey's greatest hits album. Featuring this iconic song, Don't Stop Believin', just became the third album to hit 800 weeks on the Billboard 200 chart.
Okay.
That's 15 years and almost 4 months.
I get it.
Follows Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon and Bob Marley's Legend as the longest charting albums. Is this anything?
This is something, and I got a little piece of trivia for you, for your Journey fans. By the way, at my wife and I's wedding, we walked out to the reception to Don't Stop Believin'.
Love it.
I mean, that's probably their number one all time.
I think it's gotten more popular as time goes by.
It's got to be there. That's on the top of the list in terms of Journey songs. Forget about Faithfully and Separate Ways and Open Arms, Wheel in the Sky. But I got a little piece of trivia here for you for another Journey song. Which one of Journey's greatest hits never even appeared on one of their original studio albums? Think of the movie Vision Quest.
Okay, I was trying to think of a movie. I thought maybe, you know, Any Way You Want It on Caddyshack, but I think that was on an album. I got nothing for Vision Quest.
Only the Young. Remember this song, Only the Young?
Oh, wow.
That was never actually on a Journey album.
Really?
It was on the Vision Quest movie soundtrack. Remember Vision Quest with Matthew Modine and he's the college or the high school wrestler?
Madonna also had a big song on that soundtrack, Crazy for You, the ballad.
That's right.
Vision Quest soundtrack did a lot better than the movie Vision Quest. It's the Hammer and Nigel Show.
You're listening to the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Dateline, Lawrence County, Indiana. I believe that's south of Bloomington. An Indiana woman facing narcotics charges after she called 911 to report purchasing an inferior batch of meth and said she wanted to file charges against her drug dealer.
Isn't that just the worst? You work hard all week, you save your money, you buy, you know, local meth because you're trying to help the economy, you buy local, and you get a bad batch.
You buy local. Sarah Harris, 34 years old, of Bedford, Indiana. Is Bedford home of Damon Bailey? Is this the same?
Bedford? North Lawrence, yeah.
Okay, is this the same area? Twice dialed the police emergency number to declare that her meth was not what it was supposed to be. And it left her feeling as if she was having a heart attack. She said she snorted a line of the meth and felt, quote, something different when it touched her skin and nostrils.
So to be clear here, she called 911 twice, not because she thought she was having a medical condition, but she was dissatisfied with the meth that she bought.
And she wanted to file charges against her drug dealer. This woman had noted that she and a friend had, quote, smoked a bowl of normal meth before they eventually obtained the abnormal meth that led her to call 911.
Now, this may be a dumb guy question because I have never done meth. Are there levels? Like with beer, you know, there's Miller and there's Miller Lite. Like with meth, is there normal meth and then extreme meth?
I have no idea. I've never been around meth. I've never seen it, but it must, you know, booze and weed ain't got nothing on meth, apparently, because people just shovel that crap in their systems and they don't stop until they're dead.
A weed lab doesn't make your trailer explode. The more you know, Rainbow. Put that on a public service announcement.
Yeah, I don't ever want to be around it. I've been around, let's see, the hardest drug I've ever been around was a little bit of the China, a little bit of the booger sugar.
Gotcha.
The Coke. Offered it, never did it, no thank you. In fact, I remember when the first time I was offered it, the guy's like, "Do you party?" I go, Yeah, I like to party.
I'm having a good time.
No. Do you party?
And he's like nodding his head to you.
I've got my red solo cup of Miller Lite draft. I'm like, yeah, I'm having a good time. This is a good party.
Like, even the hookers are rolling their eyes at this point. God, can we just get out of here? This guy doesn't know what we're talking about.
Oh, and then he showed me the little bag. I'm like, oh, no, thanks.
Oh, cocaine. You guys are talking about cocaine.
You guys are talking about coke? No, I don't party. Then no. No, never.
Allison, you work on the Home and Garden show every weekend. At any point, has the conversation of how to protect your house from your meth lab exploding come up?
Not yet.
This Saturday, that's your assignment. Well, I want you to get it in the conversation somehow. It's like, you know, we were talking about this on the Hammer and Nigel show. Let's say you got a meth lab.
Sure.
What's the best way to make sure it's not going to blow up my house?
And then ask Denny Smith if he's ever partied.
I'll start with that, actually.
Start with that. Hey, Denny, have you ever partied?
Why, yes, I've built my own helicopter before. End of an era. Coming to an airport near you, Nige.
That's it.
According to a lot of experts in the airline industry, the reclining seat on your plane is being phased out slowly. And in the next couple of years, you're not going to be able to recline on your airline seat.
Yeah, I don't recline anyway, because there's too much trouble associated with it. You piss off the wrong person, the next thing you know, you're getting dragged off the flight because you're in a fight with somebody that was offended that you leaned your seat back 2 inches.
You know who does recline? The long-haired hippie that always sits in front of me, sends it all the way back, puts their hair back there, and that's when I start kicking the bejesus out of their seat.
So
this will be the longest 2-hour flight of your life here, kid.
I mean, it's just issue after issue with passengers and flight attendants and spilled drinks and damaged electronics. And I think it's a blessing in disguise, actually.
It's also a lot cheaper. Like, cheaper to make the seats that don't recline.
I mean, they're already trying to fit as many people, those making those seats as small as possible.
Right. Now, I get it. I got what the kids call a fat ass.
The kids say that?
That's what the kids are saying these
days. Well, that's not very nice. Somebody should teach those kids some manners.
But these seats are pretty small. Like, this is a hill that I will die on. Even though I'm getting a little larger as life goes on.
Leon's getting larger.
The seats are getting smaller. Yeah. And like the Big Macs and Whoppers, they're not as big as they used to be.
Oh,
and
no.
You can't tell me otherwise.
Yeah, shrinkflation, ladies and gentlemen. Shrinkflation, I will say, and I maintain that sitting near the back of the plane right next to the bathroom, if you're a guy that likes to have a cocktail or two, is the best seat in the house on the aisle.
I'm with you.
And those seats don't recline because they're right up against the wall.
So if you're somebody that enjoys a cocktail flight like we do,
yes,
would you rather sit by the window or on the aisle?
No, never the...
You're not a window guy.
I'm a window guy. I like sitting next to the window. I like looking out the window, but I just have to... In my bladder. I got, you know, I'm almost 48 years old, man.
There's a lot of booze in that belly. Got to go hit the can
sometime.
Well,
that's what I think I told this story. We paid for an upgrade so we could get on the plane first. And Connor, my 12-year-old, said, Dad, let's go sit in the very back of the plane.
Yeah.
And we just spent 50 bucks on getting an upgrade. He goes... Like, he had no concept of what I was talking about.
Connor knows. The cool kids sit in the back.
Yeah, cool kids sit in the back just like the bus.
Right.
All right.
On the bus, in the classroom, you can get away with some shenanigans in the back.
It had turned out well because I was able, you know, I made friends with the flight attendant. They gave me like an extra drink coupon. It was fine. So I have to thank my 12-year-old in retrospect.
So there's an NBA player now that has been banned for life from the league because he got busted in a gambling ring. Now, it's not a big player. It's one of those guys that, you know, is in the back end of the bench, went back and forth between the G League and the NBA. A Toronto Raptors player, Jontay Porter, he's been banned for life because the league did an investigation and they found out he was throwing prop bets involving himself.
Whoops.
So what would happen here is he would have his buddy put a huge amount of money under 2.5 3-pointers made by Porter in the game. And he'd check into the game and immediately fake an injury or say that he's sick or miss a few shots and
wow.
You know, say he's got to come out. And the league noticed, why is somebody betting $80,000 on a Porter prop? And then he mysteriously got sick and had to come out.
These dummies.
That happened a couple times.
So greedy.
And it turns out he not only was betting on games, but people were betting his props and he was throwing them.
Well, what do you think? I've been seeing headlines about the possibility of the NCAA eliminating prop bets from their basketball games. Have you seen those headlines? You know what I'm talking about?
Right. And it's going to be tough for them to do it, though. If you're going to say that they deserve name, image, likeness money, and these college kids could be millionaires, hell, the Texas kid is endorsing private planes now. He has access to his own private plane. It's hard to say these student athletes, oh, they're so poor. You can't be betting on them because they don't have any money. Like, usually they only have college prop bets out for the major players. Right. So let's pump the brakes a little bit on these poor college kids. It's not like it was, you know, 30, 40 years ago. Again, these athletes now in college are making bank. Caitlin Clark, she made more money in Iowa than she's going to make in 4 years with the Indiana Fever because of the name, That's image, crazy. Likeness stuff.
That's crazy, but she deserves every penny.
We have got some tickets to give away. Aerosmith is coming January 16th, Gainbridge Fieldhouse. They say this is the final tour, the Peace Out Farewell Tour with the Black Crowes. Caller number 9 was Chuck. Chuck, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good, man. You an Aerosmith guy?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
You said they say it's their farewell tour, like you don't believe them.
Well, how many farewell tours has Kiss been on? How many farewell tours has Garth Brooks been on?
Steven Tyler's 75 years old.
Yeah, so. But he's been doing it for a while. Like, he had a Vegas residency last year.
True.
We're supposed to believe all of a sudden he doesn't like money anymore? Come on. But take him for at their word. This is what's going to happen here, Chuck. We're going to play a game called Steven Tyler or He's an Outsider. I'm going to give you a fact about someone. It will either be a fact about Aerosmith frontman Steven Tyler, or it will be a fact about somebody running for political office in Indiana this year, because about 99.8% of the ads always say they're an outsider. You get 2 out of 3 correct, we're going to give you the tickets, okay?
Sounds good.
Number 1, Steven Tyler or He's an Outsider appeared in an episode of The Simpsons where he played a show at Moe's Tavern.
Steven Tyler.
There we go. Get this one right, we'll throw a party. We'll give you the tickets. Steven Tyler or He's an Outsider. In a series of ads for his gubernatorial run, Brad Chambers calls himself this.
He's an Outsider.
Yeah! There we go! Congratulations. You have got 2 tickets to go see Aerosmith, and the rules of engagement are simple. You won the tickets, so whoever you go with, they've got to drive while you have some beverages.
That's the deal.
That is a good deal.
Right on. Chuck, stay on the line, and Allison will take care of you. Now, speaking of He's an Outsider, if you remember, we did a Hammer and Nigel campaign commercial about outsiders, and Nigel, you were the subject of it.
Was I?
Yes. Do you remember this outsider ad?
Sure.
Tired of the same old results? Tired of the status quo? If so, it's time for an outsider. Someone of the outside who has no idea of what the hell to do. Nigel Laskowski is that outsider. You don't want experience or a candidate with connections. You want an outsider. Nigel has never been to any council meetings. Why? Because he's an outsider. Experienced candidates will crunch numbers for a budget and work with other elected leaders. Not Nigel. He's an outsider. Nigel plans to show up to work drunk and then spend most of his day on the toilet.
True.
Would an experienced candidate send out a text message of his crank with the caption reading, "How's my polling?"
No?
An outsider would. So this year, say goodbye to experience and qualifications. Say hello to a man so dumb that he thought grape nuts was an STD. Nigel Laskowski. Fat. Drunk. Outsider.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
He's an outsider. He doesn't know what the hell to do. He's never been there before.
Hold on. Is that new or is that an old bit? I don't remember.
We did that a couple months ago.
A couple months ago?
On this show. Yes. You were here.
Was I here or was I on vacation?
You were here.
I don't remember that. Are you sure it was a couple months ago, not a couple years ago?
I know. It's hell froze over. You were here, and we did it on the show, and you don't remember that at all, do you? So everything in the campaign ad is correct. Drunk. Stupid. He can't remember a damn thing. Outsider. Real quick, before we hit a break here.
Wow.
The update from our promotions department. 58 tickets are left, just 58, for the Tales from the Track event presented by Relay Indiana. This is the big deal we're doing with Scott Dixon.
Yeah.
Race week, Monday, May 20th. We kick off race week with this awesome event. We've got dinner. We've got drinks sponsored by Hotel Tango. They're going to have their red, white, and bourbon there.
Delicious.
You can buy that now. It's an awesome, awesome bourbon, and some money goes to charity. And Scott Dixon's going to be there. We're going to be talking about all types of fun track stories. May or may not bring up the Taco Bell robbery. I don't know.
Oh, that's right. Wow.
And Scott's going to take pictures with everybody, sign autographs. This guy's one of the greatest IndyCar drivers in the history of the series. The 2008 Indy 500 winner, second all-time in wins in the series. So buy your tickets right now before they sell out. Go to the events page of WIBC.com, or we've got it pinned to the top of our Facebook and Twitter. Search for Hammer and Nigel.
Hammer and Nigel.
You believe these characters are weirdos?
So let's rock!
Man, I hate this, but we gotta bring attention to the story. This student, earlier this year, just a few weeks into the school year, 7-year-old IPS student told his mom that his teacher was allowing other students to physically abuse him in class. And now there's a lawsuit involved, Hammer.
So this came out because the video finally was released, and basically it was almost like the teacher was setting up some sort of fight club for these students in her IPS class. Now, the worst part about this, the part that breaks my heart, is that the mom, she was listening to the complaints from her son. Now, her son is 7 years old and also is special needs. Mm. There's some disabilities going on here. And he was telling his mom what was happening in school. Mom, fired up, went to the school, wanted answers, got nothing in return. I mean, silence, nothing. So now the student's family has filed a civil lawsuit against IPS.
Well, where's criminal charges? What? The teacher's allowing this to happen? It's on video?
The lawsuit filed in the Marion Superior Court is about the 7-year-old boy's ordeal at George Washington Carver Montessori IPS School 87. And again, this boy has special needs with disabilities, including sensory issues, executive function disorder, learning disabilities. And this is all on tape that the teacher was allowing like a fight club to take place, knowing that this little boy could not defend himself.
It sounds like the teacher needs to go to jail and this family needs compensation immediately.
Kind of reminds me of what happened in Brownsburg, where the staff there forced a special needs student to eat his own vomit.
Well, and yes, and there were criminal charges filed.
Right. So we're going to talk to Tony Kennett about this coming up here a little bit after 5:30. Tony Kennett, the host of the 7 p.m. program here, the Tony Kennett cast. He also is an investigative reporter at the Daily Signal. He has worked for IPS. He had a long, successful career as an educator before basically being a whistleblower talking about all the crap that was taking place in schools. I want to get his perspective on that story. That's coming up in just a little bit. So, Nigel, where are we at with the story that Donald Trump, at his, quote, hush money trial, when they're trying to find all the jurors, fell asleep not once, but twice?
I think it's hilarious. I think, fine. It's got to be so boring. And maybe he's putting on a show, who knows, but this thing, whole thing is a sham designed to get him off the campaign trail and in a courtroom.
And it's also designed to advance the political careers of Fat Alvin and Letitia James.
Which might work. Which might work. But it's not going to, I think it's going to backfire in terms of the support for the president.
One of Donald Trump's attorneys, Elena Haba, who's really hot. Can I just point that out?
Well, I don't notice things like that.
Uh-huh. She is an attractive woman. She spoke with Martha McCallum of Fox News about the rumors that the old man fell asleep twice.
Elena, I just have a second, but, you know, there's two reports both days of him falling asleep in court. Any reaction to that? Is he tired? Has he just been running around a lot? Or any thoughts on that?
If anything, he's probably brutally bored. I mean, it's painful. They make him sit there through jury selection. The first day was procedural. But no, you know, I've heard that report. It's unlikely. I know him. I sat through trial after trial with him. That never happens. Well, so President Trump is incredibly focused.
So for argument's sake here, just play along with me.
All right.
Let's say that the old man did fall asleep twice. I think this has to be intentional because this is Donald Trump showing that court the same amount of respect that they're showing him.
Exactly.
It's a little theater here. It's kind of like that scene in Animal House where the guys at the Delta House, they knew no matter what they did, the administration was going to kick him out. So they might as well throw a toga party.
I got news for you, pal. They're going to nail us no matter what we do. So we might as well have a good time. Toga.
There's Trump. Toga. Haba. Toga. Roger Stone. Toga. We're all in the courtroom. Toga. Toga. That's what it is.
Okay.
They're going to go after him and bust his backside no matter what they do. So you might as well embarrass them and have a good time. If you are looking for a reason to drink tonight, Nige.
Oh, fine.
Looks like we may have already started over there.
Yeah.
Today would have been the 70th birthday. 70th birthday of wrestling legend Rowdy Roddy Piper. Now, I remember as a kid growing up in the 80s, this was a dude that was ahead of his time. Because if you like the professional wrestling of like the 2000s and today, none of that's possible without Hot Rod, because he was the first one to get on the microphone and start insulting people and trash-talking people.
Had the kilt.
Had the kilt on. Right. Was a part of the first WrestleMania. He was a big deal. He embraced being the bad guy. And there was a movie, horrible movie, called They Live.
No, it wasn't horrible.
Oh, come on. He was awesome in it, but the movie was horrible. But if anything, we got this awesome line.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Classic.
Classic.
So we're trying to clean out the house at home, right? So we had a short little window where we moved from one house into Crystal's mother's house. She passed away. We inherited the house, so we're moving stuff into it. We got all of our stuff in. Now we're in the process of taking all the old stuff that was there out.
You gonna donate it?
We're gonna donate some of it, yeah. Some of the clothes, you know, that was down there between her father-in-law and her mom. A little trip to Goodwill, maybe in order.
I don't know if Goodwill wants your stuff. They don't want my stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
It's usually just like old cobweb mothball clothes and random pieces of shelving and stuff that I dump off there, and I usually feel bad about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but maybe they can clean it up and somebody might find some use of it somehow. I don't know. But with springtime here, I know I can't be the only one that's trying to declutter a little bit. Some spring cleaning in the homestead.
Yeah.
And the fine folks at Goodwill, they're happy to take your stuff, but they also have this public service announcement.
Hey folks, it's Lou Taylor from your local Goodwill. I know April means spring cleaning, so I want to remind you all the stuff you no longer want around your house. Yeah, we don't want it either. You should see what people bring us. Used batteries, my best friend's wedding on DVD, a single shoe. The other day we got a rusty harmonica, which let me play the blues as I sorted through ice trays. Oh, and thanks to whoever donated the half-empty lighter. They let me set everything else you left us on fire. For the last time, people, it's a donation bin, not a dumpster.
Told ya.
Hey, I don't think beggars can be choosers. That's all I'm saying.
Are you really okay with this?
Are you okay?
Everything's gonna be okay.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
I'm pretty f***ing far from okay.
Are you okay with this? On the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Oh, yeah! My name is Nigel. That's Jason Hammer right over there. During last week's Jimmy Buffett tribute concert at the Hollywood Bowl, actor Harrison Ford told the crowd how Jimmy inspired him to make a major change in his look. Check this out.
Jimmy Buffett was a cool guy. I remember one day, some might say boozy lunch, with Jimmy and Ed Bradley.
It was
Bradley's birthday. I saw both of them had earrings. So right after lunch, I got my ear pierced. That's just how infectious Jimmy's coolness.
He was 55 when that happened, when he decided to go with the earring. Harrison Ford being inspired by Jimmy Buffett to get an earring. Are you okay with this, Hammer?
No, because I think there's a cutoff for being a dude and doing things like that. And 55 is well past the cutoff. Like, I had to tell Rob Kendall this. I almost had to have an intervention with our midday host, Rob Kendall. You're too old to wear your hat backwards anymore. You're somebody's dad now. You're married. You've had hair transplant surgery. You're too old to be wearing your hat backwards. There's a cutoff. Just like going to Broad Ripple. Listen, I hope all the Broad Ripple folks, bar owners, make as much money as they can.
Yeah.
But there's a cutoff age, right? Like, old dudes like us, Nigel, don't belong in Broad Ripple anymore. It's a young man's game.
Why was Harrison Ford talking like that?
I don't know. Is that cool or is that creepy? Like, is
it's
that
not cool?
Okay,
but he is old. I mean, he's in his 70s, isn't he? Maybe 80.
And listen, Harrison Ford, you know, when he was Han Solo, pretty cool. Harrison Ford is Indiana Jones. All right, pretty cool.
Yeah.
But up there on the stage, sounding like death, wearing an earring, trying to justify it, not cool.
Well, a couple accidentally got divorced. It was an accident after the lawyer clicked the wrong button using an online portal. Are you okay with this?
No, not okay with this at all. So imagine you finally, you know, got it. You made the commitment. You found the love of your life. You bought a ring. You had the ceremony. The paperwork is almost final. And the guy hits the wrong button and makes you divorced. So I guess the question I have is, if they were divorced, does he get a hall pass? Does he get to go out and do God knows what? Does she get a hall pass? Does she get to go out and do God knows what? And all is forgiven?
What kind of computer software are they using where it's... You know, did the button say divorce and he just accidentally clicked that button?
Yes, no. They're side by side and he fat fingered it. You're right. I don't know what the divorce marriage software looks like. I really did not know that this was a thing, but apparently it is, and you can fat finger that bad boy like a mother.
Yeah, and no to the hall pass question. I don't think that accounts. All right.
Come on, honey. We were divorced.
Country music singer Sam Hunt talks about one of his quote-unquote controversial rules in his relationship that he never sleeps on the couch. Here he is explaining what that's all about.
One beautiful thing about Hannah is that she forgives quickly, and I also have a rule that I'm not sleeping on the couch. So she's going to have to shoot me before I don't sleep in my own bed.
Jeez, are you okay with Sam Hunt's philosophy there in that marriage?
No, I don't think I am. Sometimes, Sam, you make mistakes, like when you got popped for that Dewey.
Oops.
And I know you may have this policy of I don't sleep on the couch, but I think if Mrs. Hunt really wanted to lay her foot down that night, no, you're sleeping your drunk ass out on the couch, and I don't care what you think.
Have you ever been sent to the couch before?
I've passed out on the couch. I've never been sent to the couch.
Yeah, I think if there has been an argument in the relationship between me and my wife, she'll usually just, she has gone to like sleep with one of the kids, like in their beds. She won't sleep in the room. And I'll wake up in the middle of the night and be like, oh boy, I'm going to get it tomorrow. She slept in the other room after the argument.
And how would her response be if you went and pulled a Sam Hunt and said, we've got a policy where you're not allowed to leave?
No, you stay right here. You fall asleep angry right next to me, okay?
You grind your teeth, you swear in your sleep, but that's the way we do things in this house.
Pamela Anderson has joined the cast of the Naked Gun remake.
Awesome.
Are you okay with this?
Yes. Listen, I'm actually excited for the Naked Gun remake. Do I think it's going to be better than the original? I don't. But I bet I get some enjoyment out of it. Now, for those who don't remember what the Naked Gun was, this was the film where Leslie Nielsen played like the bumbling police chief. It was based off the old TV series Police Squad, and they made a series of movies where Leslie Nielsen's character, Frank Drebin, was this bumbling police chief, and he had to...
He was a lieutenant.
Yeah, solve all these problems. O.J. Simpson was in the Naked Gun movies, and the new casting, Liam Neeson, is going to be taking the role of Frank Drebin. And this is why I'm somewhat excited for it, because he's best known for being like a hard ass, I will find you and I will kill you. But he's got a really good sense of humor. He does a lot of stuff with Seth MacFarlane. Like, he appeared in the Ted movie. He was this psycho that wanted to make sure tricks just weren't for kids.
And Seth MacFarlane, by the way, one of the producers on the Naked Gun remake. Now, none of the original writers or directors are involved with it.
No.
Seth MacFarlane's involved with this thing.
Pamela Anderson, from what I understand, is taking on the love interest role. That was played by Priscilla Presley back in the day in the old movies. They still hold up. I'll watch The Naked Gun now if it pops up on HBO or something, and I'll still laugh.
And Nordberg.
Right,
of course.
O.J.
Right.
Simpson, which, by the way, our guest coming up here in a few minutes, Tony Kennett, has been blocked by Nordberg, blocked by O.J. Simpson on Twitter.
What? We got to ask him about that.
Oh, we totally will. We're going to talk to him about that. But since we're talking about the Naked Gun and the remake, this is my favorite part of the Naked Gun, the baseball movie scene with all of the announcers and the car and the tiger and Reggie Jackson, and here to perform the national anthem, Enrico Palazzo. Because the bit was this, you know, iconic opera singer, Enrico Palazzo, was supposed to sing the anthem, but Frank Drebin stole his outfit, you know, to stake out the baseball game.
Right.
And then after he saves the day, after he defeats Reggie Jackson and saves the day, he takes off the mask, and this was the crowd reaction.
That's not the umpire, Your Honor.
Hey, it's Enrico Palazzo!
Oh, God.
home and watch it right now.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So, yes, I am okay with a remake of The Naked Gun with Liam Neeson.
All right. The Hammer and Nigel Show. My name is Nigel. That's Jason Hammer over there with a special guest on the hotline.
He is the host of the Tony Kinnett cast every Monday through Friday right after our show. His show starts at 7 o'clock. He's also an investigative reporter for the Daily Signal. Tony Kinnett joins us. Tony, it's no big secret here. You talk about your past of being an educator in the IPS school system. You've brought that up multiple times on the air. IPS is facing a lawsuit right now, Tony, and just, I guess, weeks into the school year this year, some teacher was basically having like a fight club with seven-year-olds.
What?
It was being recorded. You know, these kids were having the hell beat out of them. You know, moms were complaining, dads were complaining, school didn't do anything. Well, now the video's out there and lawsuits are being filed. Walk me through this.
So I remember a couple of years ago that I came on the air, and for the very first time on Hammer and Nigel in front of the state of Indiana, I said, Indianapolis public schools are incredibly violent. And I gave you examples. And I said, at Arsenal Tech, there are so many fights that they have to take down fight Instagram pages for Arsenal weekly. I said they had to lock the doors at George Washington High School because students were going into bathrooms during class and beating each other half to death. And I said the elementary schools are just as bad. And that's what happened here. Because, like you guys said, first of all, don't host a fight club with seven-year-olds. They can't keep a secret. And as you guys know, don't talk about fight club kind of whole thing.
It's like the first rule. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, very basic stuff. Almost elementary, you might say. But in all seriousness, this is disgusting.
Yeah.
To me, this is every bit as disgusting as the Brownsburg incident with the forcing the student to eat the vomit. This is a horrible, horrible situation. But again, IPS is always focused on this racial equity stuff, which includes restorative justice, in which you don't kick out violent students. You don't suspend violent students. You keep them in there. Otherwise, you're depriving them of the opportunity to learn. And you end up getting really horrible situations like this.
So this lawsuit that was filed in the Marion County Superior Court, it involves a seven-year-old boy in his ordeal at George Washington Carver Montessori IPS School 87. Now, this boy also has special needs, disabilities, sensory issues, and he's at the centerpiece of this, Tony.
Yeah, and again, this is at a Montessori school. Now, those of you that listen to the radio, various radio stations around the state, and watch TV will know that IPS has been running advertisements for their Montessori schools over the last couple of months. That's right, folks. If you live in Marion County, IPS has been spending your tax dollars on advertisements to the schools where kids are beating the living crap out of each other at teachers' encouragement, according to this lawsuit.
And the thing that's really upsetting here is it sounds like the parents and the family of this child, they've been complaining to the school for a while. They've been demanding answers, and they were basically given the Heisman Trophy stiff arm, and now it's going to court.
Come on. Superintendent Alicia Johnson doesn't care about children. She just doesn't. She's a horrible woman. The entire equity staff at that school is horrible. There are a couple of great teachers at the district. There are some decent ancillary staff. And then the maintenance and facility staff at IPS are top-notch. But a lot of the teachers and administrators at that school are bottom feeder filth who take advantage of kids for social reasons. And now here we go. Here's yet another example. Here's us ringing the bell again. IPS is a horrible school district fueled by people who want to play politics instead of actually improving the lives of kids who need it the most. And this victim is yet another example of something we shouldn't even have to be reporting on.
Tony, any update? You mentioned Brownsburg and the incident there that happened with the special needs student. And, I mean, there were arrests in that incident being forced to eat his vomit and how forthcoming and transparent the school has been. Any updates on what's going on in Brownsburg, or is there anything going on right now?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Did you guys hear the statement from State Superintendent Jenner from the Department of Education about their investigation into the district?
No.
Oh, neither did I. That's because the Department of Education in Indiana does nothing. They have no leadership ability at all. Whenever there's an incident like this, there's never an investigation of the administration as to how this was allowed to happen or how this was kept silent. No one ever investigates like the superintendent or the administration from the state. The only person who actually seems to care about holding schools accountable is Attorney General Todd Rokita, and that's not even his office. So as far as Brownsburg, you're not going to see true accountability until we actually have a state superintendent who, I don't know, does their job.
Since we're on the subject of school districts being sued, you've got an article at Daily Signal about this school in Berkeley. They're getting sued for pro-Hamas propaganda.
So I want the listeners out there right now to picture the hippie guy who's teaching you how to do like canoe rapids in Nashville. Can you picture him? Dirty, like blonde ponytail.
Sure.
Looks like he backpacked without showering for 8.5 years. So that's what this guy at Berkeley looks like. His name is Alex Day. And he, in November, like less than a month after the Hamas rape and murder of over 1,200 people in Israel, he gets up in front of the school board at Berkeley. You can tell where this is going.
Okay, wait a minute. I'm just want to be clear. This is not college we're talking about. This is junior high, high school level.
Correct. Right? Yeah, this is the Berkeley Unified School District, K-12 in Berkeley. Thanks for clarifying. Yeah, thank you. So he gets up in front of the school board meeting and says, as a ninth grade social studies teacher, you guys aren't going to censor me from teaching about colonialism. And then he teaches an entire lesson series, and he mentions Hamas once, and then basically teaches students to do this weird groupthink on how the Jews are actually bad because the Jews colonized the land, and Netanyahu is terrible, and he has all of these quotes and pictures from Democrat squad members, some really anti-Semitic stuff as well. And when parents asked for, you know, give us the slides from this lesson, the school obfuscated and omitted information and tried to hide it from parents for months, which is illegal.
Wow.
As a public school, you can't do that. So now they're getting sued.
I kind of thought, I'm confused because I was told this kind of thing doesn't happen in the high schools and the junior highs. And they're very transparent.
It's Republican talking points.
Yeah.
Yeah, remember when, like, you know, CRT wasn't happening until it was, and we had, you know, administrators who were revealed on video in Indiana, among other states, admitting that they taught it. And then it was, well, the trans stuff isn't in schools. And then we had people that were admitting to it and public documents that were released, like in Pendleton, Indiana. And now it's the Hamas thing, and there's documents being revealed. So at this point, I mean, just take Republicans' word for it, which is a wild thing to say.
Who is suing the school district?
There is an organization called the Deborah Project that handles a lot of cases regarding religious liberty and anti-Semitism out west. And they're out for blood, and they should be, because this is disgusting.
Tony Kennett joining us. His program coming up tonight, 7 o'clock, the Tony Kennett Cast here at 93 WIBC. Tony, I've made it perfectly clear that when O.J. Simpson died, I was happy. The fact that scumbag is not breathing our oxygen anymore brings joy to my cold, dark heart. And as much as I despise the man that used to be known as the Juice, I never got blocked on Twitter by O.J. You did.
Wow. That is true. He did not like me. I felt the same way that you did, because I had a time when I was in college where I looked through a lot of old course and court case data regarding his situation, and I was just sickened by everything that he was and stood for. And he did like a little speaking something in the Midwest near where I was, and I had watched the speech from that event, and I just decided I'd make fun of him on Twitter. Because, you know, I was bored. And so I did. And the comments that I made started to get some traction because I was, you know, making fun of him for being a disgusting murderer of innocent people. And he blocked me because he couldn't handle the heat. And so now he's handling a different kind of heat.
Oh,
and
there it is. That's what I was looking for. Set it up and knock it down. That's what I'm looking for. Hey, real quick before we let you go, again, Tony Kennett with us. What do you think about this whistleblower from NPR that has now been suspended for basically telling the world what we already knew, that even though they get our taxpayer money, they're as biased, as left-leaning as humanly possible?
So actually, he just resigned,
this guy named
Yuri. And as he resigned, again, he pointed out, look, he's like, I am very, very, very liberal. He makes a point in his article to say, I drive like the Subaru Outback and all of the other stereotypes. And he's like, if I, the liberal, am telling you that we have lied to the American public for the last couple of decades, it's true. And, you know, Chris Rufo, who's a good friend of mine, has been going on Twitter about the new CEO who is insane. And I mean, there's no reason this organization should be receiving money of any federal kind from the public whatsoever.
And so that's the thing, right? We expect the media at a national level to probably have a slant to it or lie to us at the bare minimum. We kind of expect that at this point.
Yes,
but
the station manager at Nextar, he's a liberal. That's fine. Fox 59, he's a big lib. That's cool. He wants to be totally fine. But my taxpayer dollars better not go to his salary.
Run it like a business. If you want to do it that way, just run it like a business like everybody else.
Absolutely. And again, you want to be a liberal. I'm a conservative journalist. I do not expect you as a liberal, independent, or conservative to pay my salary. If my work is good, then I will be paid. But the federal government shouldn't be paying my salary. That's ridiculous.
Well, we could also probably have this conversation about Planned Parenthood, but we'll do that at another time. What is coming up on the Tony Kinnick Cast tonight?
Well, I'm going to be in Boone County moderating a candidate event. And then on the show tonight, we're going to be talking about Donald Trump's case. So we're going to dig into the gritty details about Stormy Daniels' hush money case and the great New York judge of justice and, well, you know, whoever's paying him off.
Can I just say something real quick, whenever I hear people say hush money, and I'm guilty of it, it's not hush money. She signed a legal document, an NDA, and she chose to break it. Donald Trump should be suing her.
You're stealing my thunder for the story, Nigel.
Oh!
Come on, man.
I scooped you.
All right, man. Looking forward to the big show tonight.
Thanks, guys.
That's Tony Kinnett on Twitter, at the Tonus. This is the Hammer and Nigel Show.
A man in Memphis was arrested, listen to this, after police say he attempted to rob a gas station with a snake.
So let me ask you this. Let's say you're the clerk at the Speedway, the Shell, whatever the gas station is. One guy comes in with a gun, traditional armed robbery. Yes. The other guy comes in with a live snake. Which freaks you out more?
Well, the gun would always freak me out, obviously, but it depends on what kind of snake. You come in with like a little gardener snake. No. But if you come in with like a venomous, you know, diamondback, whatever you call it, the kinds of snakes you saw on Indiana Jones in that pit.
Right. Somebody comes in there with like a cobra.
Like a cobra or a rattler. I think I'm more scared of the rattler.
Great moments in snake history.
Right.
Remember when Jake the Snake Roberts, the iconic wrestler,
yes,
came into studio with us?
Joining us live in studio, quite possibly one of the most well-known pro wrestlers ever to step in the ring, Jake the Snake Roberts. Snake, what's up, man?
Appreciate it, man, except for that BS song you guys played.
That's your
a horrible nightmare, man. Are you kidding?
Yeah, I mean, so at some point you did get tired of the
Jake the Snake. It gets old, man. It really does. I mean, 35, 40 years. Yeah, it starts to wear on you.
Man, there's not too many people that can look at Charlie Sheen and go, you haven't lived.
Oh, really?
But you can.
You got that right.
So,
and I survived.
I want to do a little fact or fiction here. Some stories that I've heard about you. You tell me if this is legit or not.
Okay.
You started doing cocaine when you were 12 years old.
Oh.
False.
Okay, I saw that online.
I was 10. No.
I forgot about Jake the Snake. That was incredible.
Dude, the stories that guy has, like, to say that he's done some living is an understatement. Great moments in snake history. This is the Hammer and Nigel Show.